Welcome to the Cinebros podcast. We have some special guests on today's episode. We have Braden and Logan. They are the hosts of the podcast Absolutely Gobsmacked. I will let them tell you a little bit about themselves and what they do. Guys?
How are you guys doing today, first of all?
We're doing great. How about you?
I'm doing awesome. I'm awesome.
What a great day, yes.
That's good. So thank you. First of all, thank you guys for having us on. We're really excited. We love to meet new people and talk about movies, so that's good. My name's Braden. I'm the co-host of my podcast, Absolutely Gobsmacked, along with Logan. Yeah, we started back in middle of June, so fairly new, but haven't missed a beat since then. We've been growing and we love what we do. We have our website up and social media. So basically what we do is we go behind the scenes of movies, kind of the behind the scenes history, maybe some fun facts that people didn't know about. Once in a while, every like five episodes, we go into an actor or actress that unfortunately passed away too soon, you know, kind of like a true crime, but movie themed. So we do that as well. And that's kind of what our podcast is about.
And I'm Logan, obviously the other one. This whole thing got started up by Braden. He really wanted to have a podcast, and I was the only one smart enough or dumb enough, depending on whose opinion you ask, to join him. No, but it's fun. It's cool. We in fact actually thought about, you know, what could we talk about in a podcast? What do we want to talk about? What do we have opinions about, and what are we passionate about? Movies came to be it, but we didn't just want to talk about movies because there's tons of people who talk about movies, but more the history and behind the scenes stuff that a lot of people don't really talk about. Mm-hmm.
I think that's the beauty of podcasts. You can really just talk about anything you want.
Yeah, I listened to your guys' most recent episode where you guys talk about Judith Barcy.
Yeah.
I think that's a fairly well-known story, but mm-hmm. I really liked the way you guys handled it. It was very somber. You guys set the tone very well.
Yeah, no, we, it was tough to do. It's tough to do episodes like that because it's very, very real. You know, it really happened and there's no taking it back. You know, it's not fantasy like a lot of movies are. So it's tough to talk about those things, but we didn't do it for entertainment purposes per se, or just because we like talking about that stuff. But I think it's good to bring awareness, like we talk about in the episode, to things like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Luke and Ray, do you guys know who Judith Barcy was? Is that name familiar to you?
Not to me. Yeah, I'm not. I don't know who that is.
Luke, I'm surprised you don't know about this one. She played Ducky on Land Before Time and a bunch of other things.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I loved Land Before Time as a kid.
Okay, do you have any idea what happened to her?
I'm going
to
guess that she passed away, like...
Okay, well, I'm not going to tell you. If you want to find out,
more of an extreme way.
If you want to find out, you can go listen to their episode where they talk about it.
Pretty slick.
I do encourage you to listen, not because we want you to, not just because we want you to listen to our podcast, but I think this episode in particular, I think everyone should listen to, even if you don't want to listen to our podcast. We go into a lot of the psychology, even though we're not psychologists at all. We both have somewhat experience in abuse or child abuse, or know people that have gone through it. And so I think it's an important episode.
So for this episode of our show, we will be talking about, I believe, Braden, you said it was your favorite movie, Edward Scissorhands.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I've not actually seen this movie. So The people that have will let this be a like pitching this movie to me kind of thing. Ray, did you get a chance to finish it? Like, where were you in it?
Well, I just got to the part where Edward went to jail and he got home and all the people were a bunch of skeptics going on around, you know, what's really going on in this situation. But so far, I've loved it. I've loved every minute of it. I watched it because Tyler told me you guys were coming on and we were going to talk some Tim Burton. I was really going to finish it when we get done recording it.
Luke, you've seen it?
I have. Yeah, I've seen it several times and I'm a big fan. It's one of my favorite Tim Burton movies. Actually, it's probably my favorite, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, Tim Burton, not everyone's type of director, I guess. His movies aren't for everyone.
Yeah.
You know? Ray, I think you said you weren't a big fan, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can get more into it, but I'll let you guys go ahead and talk about how you love it so much.
Conversation's good. I like to hear different perspectives.
Well, there's really no specific reason as to why I don't like him. I've just never been into that like kind of film, those kind of films that he makes.
Yeah. Fantasy. Yeah, no, and me neither, honestly. I'm not a fan of all of his movies personally, but this one just struck a chord. And I don't know if you guys want me to get into it yet.
Go for it. I would love to hear what you got to say about it.
So there's a lot of backstory to it, obviously, because it's my favorite movie. So, and I was telling Logan the story earlier, kind of how I got into it. I was probably like in third grade. I was like 10 years old. At the time, I was living in Minnesota. Okay. So I go with my friend Nico to Mall of America. Our families go. And there's a performance kind of in the evening before everything closes. It's like a dance performance, right? You got these break dancers, these talented hip hop dancers. But instead of dancing to that type of music, it's kind of more of like an interpretive break dancing performance to the music of Edward Scissorhands. And I didn't know it at the time that that was the music, but the music, I fell in love with it. I fell in love with it. And my friend Nico goes, that sounds exactly like the music from Edward Scissorhands. And I'm like, what is that? Like, what is Edward Scissorhands? And he kind of told me about it. And I'm a huge Johnny Depp fan. And I was at the time, because my favorite movie at the time was Finding Neverland, another Johnny Depp movie. So he told me Johnny Depp was in it. And so I was like immediately interested. I didn't get to watch it until maybe summer before freshman year of high school. One day I walk into my room and I see the DVD on my bed, never opened. To this day, I still don't know how it got there or who bought it for me.
That's some creepy stuff, man.
That's a really cool story.
It was Edward himself.
It was crazy. I asked my parents, I asked everyone. And it was I didn't buy it for you.
Maybe it was Nico.
So
maybe he snuck in and put it on your bed.
Fortunately, that was the beginning of summer. And I kid you not, okay? Of course, I fell in love with the movie right away. And I watched it, and I'm not exaggerating. That whole summer, every single day, I had nothing else to do. I watched it. I watched Edward Scissorhands every day the summer, that whole summer before freshman year.
I had a very different experience with that movie. But go ahead, continue. Sorry.
So some days I'd watch it by myself. Some days I'd have friends over and make them watch it. And I introduced it to everyone. But everything about the movie, I just love. And I mean, we can get into that in a little bit. But yeah, that's the story of how Edward Scissorhands came into my life.
So I have a tangent real quick here.
Sure.
Isn't Finding Neverland also the title of the Michael Jackson pedophilia documentary? Is that right?
That's Leaving Neverland.
Leaving. Yeah. Okay. I got you.
Come on, Tyler.
Man, Tyler.
Okay. It's funny because we talk about we have an episode on the top five movie scores of all time. Mm-hmm. And spoiler alert, Edward Scissorhands is my number one. But Finding Neverland is also in there. Yeah, Finding Neverland's in there also. And really? my guest at the time, he said the same thing. He's like, that's not the Michael Jackson movie, right? And I'm just like, I guess a lot of people haven't seen Finding Neverland.
Now, I've never seen it.
Yeah, I love Johnny Depp. I feel like I've heard of that movie, but I've never watched it myself.
Yeah, so it's the story of how Peter Pan was created. Johnny Depp plays J.M. Barrie, the author of the play.
Oh, okay.
And it's kind of how it was conceived and everything. It's a good movie.
Okay, I gotcha. So I was when we established that we were doing Edward Scissorhands for this episode, I was actually going to watch it with my girlfriend. We were between that and another movie, which I'll talk about later because it was really good. And we were watching the trailers of both movies, and we watched the Edward Scissorhands trailer first, right? Mm-hmm. And I was not impressed by the trailer at all. It didn't sell me in the slightest.
The movie's hard to sell through a trailer. I think you actually watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest. Specific. I don't know what 80s or 90s movie trailer caught my attention. I don't think the trailers back then were very good anyways.
That's fair.
From what I've read about it, it seems like the trailer kind of misrepresented it. I don't even know how I would describe what the trailer represented it as. I like teen comedy romance, maybe? Is that descriptive of the actual movie for those that have seen it?
In a sense, not really.
There's not really any comedy. I mean, there might be a couple.
There's a couple little scenes that are meant to be funny.
Okay, yeah, because the trailer portrayed it to be very comedic, which was different than what I expected from it.
There's definitely comedy aspects. Like there's the short and sweet of it. There's a scene in particular that's my favorite scene of the movie. Not to say that I love the movie, but not like Brayden does for sure. But there's a scene where he comes home, Edward Scissorhands comes home, or, you know, quote unquote home, and, you know, the dad is there of the girl he likes, and he goes, "Hey, you want some of this?" And he's like, "What is it?" And he drinks it, and it's alcohol, and he tells him that it's lemonade.
Yeah.
And so the next day he's going and cutting the lady who likes him, who's like, you know, trying to woo him or whatever, her lawn. And she offers him some lemonade, and he goes, "What is this?" And she goes, "Lemonade." And he just goes, "Lemonade." It's hilarious. But most of it is not like that.
I think that there's certain ways that you can not perceive this to be a comedy, but there are certain ways that you can perceive this movie to be funny. Just by the way Edward acts.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I was doing some reading on this one, and it seems like it is much more serious than the trailer led on. I was reading where Tim Burton and I think is someone like the producer or the writer was saying that this was like their favorite movie that they had made together, and that it was the most personal story that they had written, that it was very emblematic of their own self struggles and like the problems with society and things like that. So it had a much deeper meaning than my first impression of it.
Yeah. So I can kind of go into the history real quick. Not too deep, but it was basically conceived when Tim Burton was a child. He drew this drawing of Edward. It's just a man or a young man with scissors as hands. And the way he interprets it is basically Tim Burton sees himself in Edward I'm sure you can see with Tim Burton's movies, they're unique, and he's a unique person. He's a unique individual. He's got a creative imagination, and he definitely stands out. He was kind of the weird kid. So that's kind of who Edward is. He definitely doesn't fit into this cookie cutter neighborhood that the movie takes place in, you know, typical American dream 50s suburbia. And here's this basically gothic, dressed all in black with a pasty white face guy with scissors as hands, just completely abnormal compared to it. And he completely stands out and really doesn't belong. And that's basically the whole movie. That's what it's about.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say about this movie is I did not expect the people of the town to be so accepting of him at first.
Yeah.
Everyone to... Yeah. The one are like, "Oh, he's a freak. What is he doing here?" And they just, you know, that's how people are.
Well, I think it's more of they're being nosy and curious. They want to know, is this mysterious man? Where is he from? They want the gossip, right? They want to have gossip to talk about. So they want to get all the info they can on him. And I think it's more the curiosity than they actually want to befriend him, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think that's really what it is.
When I did leave off, they were starting to gossip that they didn't like him after the break-in.
Yeah, well, things start to unravel.
On him. Yeah.
Yeah. You'll see. Things start to unravel, and the person who was not accepting of him, the, you know, Winona Ryder, she kind of does a 180 too. Well, everyone else goes.
I feel like the crazy lady that's like, "Oh, he's the devil. He's not from heaven," or yada yada yada. I feel like he is gonna have like some crazy role at the end or something.
Yeah, no, keep watching it. It's through and through. It's a good movie from beginning to end. You know what I mean?
Guys, if I can say something real quick, I think my favorite aspect of this movie, besides all the really good acting and, you know, very well-written story and all that stuff, is I love the theme in any type of media, but especially this movie because it explores it so well. I love the theme that and the idea in a movie that someone who looks so terrifying and threatening can be like the sweetest, most innocent thing ever. You know what I mean? I love that. I think it's very complex and interesting theme for this movie to have, and it pulls it off really well. And like I said, the acting is great. Johnny Depp is obviously great, and it's funny. He's so good, and he doesn't even talk like a ton, and he's really good. And Winona Ryder, And Winona Ryder is also really good in this movie. I'm a big fan of hers. I know mm-hmm. sometimes she gets some hate from people, but I don't really agree with that. I think she's a really good actress. I mean, obviously, Stranger Things, she's good. And this isn't my favorite performance of hers. It's probably my second behind Heathers, which if you all haven't seen Heathers, that's like my number eight favorite film of all time. You should check it out. But anyway, but all the acting's good. And but yeah, my favorite thing about it is that theme. And I mean, it just really subverts your expectations. Someone who literally has weapons for hands can be so innocent and sweet and really helpful. I mean, he cuts people's grass, and I mean, he, you know, does all kinds of stuff like that. And then the stuff with the snow, which I know that's a little bit of a spoiler. Sorry, Ray, but without context, I don't think you'll understand what that means. But yeah, anyway, that is my favorite thing about the movie. I love that theme for this movie to have.
Yeah. The don't judge a book by its cover, you know?
Right. Yeah.
What do you guys think is the best movie that does that? That's like the big scary guy. It's actually like soft to heart.
The first one that comes to mind for me is Frankenstein.
Well, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like that's the original Frankenstein?
Yeah, because I feel like that was the first one that ever did it.
Okay, yeah.
That's which this movie borrows a lot from, by the way.
I think this movie does it better, personally, but I just...
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
I would say... And this is going to be a little bit abstract for sure. Actually, King Kong, and not the not the like newer ones, but the OG. Just because, you know, it's the beast, but the beauty breaks his heart, right? And so that you know, not judging it by its covers. You know, if everything had been different, if they didn't attack him, if they didn't bring him to the mainland, how things would have been different.
Would you say that Godzilla fits in that as well?
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of monster movies do.
I think the one that came to mind for me was Korg from Thor Ragnarok and MCU movies. Because, like, you know, he's big and like that, but he, like, his personality is so funny. That was
Yeah, no, he was my favorite character from that movie. So, I mean, I can see what we're.
Oh, yeah, mine too. Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah. Another good one, the real life story, is Elephant Man. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
Oh, I haven't.
Want that to. That's a David Lynch movie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'd really David like Lynch. To see that.
Yeah, we talked about that movie in our top five based on true stories movies episode.
That's kind of an interesting thing, because would you say that Tim Burton is comparable to David Lynch in a way?
I don't think so. I think the only thing that connects them is that, I don't want to say weird, because I hate using that term, but I mean, it's just like, you know, it's eccentric and kind of off the wall craziness. I mean, that's really the only thing that connects them to me. Tim Burton's style is a lot more gothic, I think, and a lot more stylized, whereas David Lynch does it just to completely shock you. You know what I mean? So I think that's where they differ.
I think as far as similarities go, you're right. They have a lot of the movies are kind of not for everyone. And then once in a while, they'll have a movie that's very grounded. You know what I mean? Once in a while, they'll have, like for Tim Burton, I think one is... and they're still a little quirky, but big Eyes and Big Fish, you know, more grounded compared to his other movies. And then with David Lynch, Elephant Man, I would consider more grounded. And there's another movie he did, The Straight Story. I don't know if you guys have seen that one.
I've heard it's great. I've never seen that.
It's another based on true story movie that's, you know, it's grounded. So I think they have those similarities too.
Yeah, that's fair. I was just kind of going off of like how stylized their movies are, like that they each have their very own distinct style.
Right.
Like, you know, it's a David Lynch movie just by like some of the things that happen. And just same with Tim Burton, you know, it's a Tim Burton movie when you see it.
I would say that Tim Burton probably has one of the most unique styles of making movies of any other person.
Oh, I would say so as well.
Yeah.
And the way he goes about, like, not just making his movies, but the story, like how he takes you along. Every corner is unexpected. You don't know what he's going to throw at you. Like, Big Fish is a perfect example. Like, that's actually my favorite Tim Burton movie personally, which I know Braden is not happy with that one. But
no, it's a great movie. Big Fish is great.
Yeah, but versus Edward Scissorhands. But anyways, you don't really expect a lot of what happens. And then, you know, spoilers, everybody. But at the end, whenever you come to find out that everything's true, he just kind of exaggerated a little bit. It's still another spin on things. It's not like a curveball, or it's not a twist ending, but just little surprises. It's not so much shock factor. It's his little surprises, his little quirks that he throws in there. That's very specific to him, I would say.
Going back to Edward Scissorhands, Logan, you said you had a very different introduction to it than Braden did. You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So I didn't want to see the movie, okay. Just me personally. I did not have any interest in it. But the thing is, I had an older sister and I wanted to watch TV or play video games. And she wanted to watch Edward Scissorhands. She was older than me. 9 years older than me. So she was way bigger than me. So we ended up watching Edward Scissorhands. And she really liked it as much as Brayden did, I would say. And so, yeah, she would watch it all the time. And so I just got sick of it. I was like, look, I don't want to watch this movie. She's like, please, Logan, come on. I want my little brother to come watch this with me. And I'm like, no. But so it kind of led off of that. I appreciate it a lot more now than I did back then. But yeah, it's still left a bad taste in my mouth when you're kind of force fed something.
Yeah.
It could have ended up being good. Sometimes you're force fed a movie you don't want to watch and it ends up being something great.
Yeah.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah. Unfortunately, in my family, we're a whole bunch of hardheads. So usually when we get our mindset on something, it's going to stay that way.
So Luke, I know you were wanting to kind of use Edward Scissorhands as like a launching point to discuss Tim Burton's other work. So how would you guys say that Scissorhands relates to his overall filmography? Where would you, Brayden, I assume you would put it number one out of his filmography, considering it's your favorite movie.
Right.
Luke, where would you say?
You know, it's kind of funny because I feel like there's several firsts for Tim Burton with this movie. Obviously, he's been making movies since, you know, the 80s and probably the 70s and like maybe short films or something. I'm not sure, but definitely the 80s because the Batman movies, but which I'll talk about here soon. But I think this movie, you know, there's several firsts. It's like, I think it's the first collaboration between him and Johnny Depp. Don't quote me on that because.
Yeah, it is.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So, and obviously they've made tons of movies together. I love like when there's a certain director and actor relationship where they're like in all kinds of their movies and stuff. And I will say that I like Johnny Depp. He's obviously a good actor. He's an Oscar nominated actor, but I think some of his later movies with Tim Burton aren't nearly as good. Mm-hmm. I definitely think this is his best one. And I think this, you know what? And we even talked about, you know, we talk about being grounded in reality and Tim Burton talks about this being a personal story. And even though it's about a guy with scissors for hands, I still feel like other than that concept, I feel like it's a little bit more accessible than some of Tim Burton's other movies that are just so bizarre that like, maybe the normal audience wouldn't enjoy them as much. I think pretty much anybody can enjoy this movie. So I think it's one of his more accessible movies for sure. And then you've got the Batman movies, but which of course is Batman. I mean, all kinds of people like Batman, but yeah, I think it's one of his more accessible movies.
Ray, I know you're not a particular fan of Tim Burton.
I haven't seen a lot of his movies, but how do I like what? Sorry, I didn't mean to.
How do you like Scissorhands compared to what you have seen of his?
I would say that Scissorhands so far has been the most enjoyable watch of his movies of mine. I feel like the casual movie watcher, I feel like Edward Scissorhands is the perfect movie for me because really you're never really stressed out watching the movie. Just sitting here watching Edward's adventure, getting to see all the pretty things that Tim Burton puts on the screen. So I would say like as far as my taste, I'd say that this one stacks up at the top over the other ones simply because of like Luke said, it's just more simple than any of the other ones.
I think, you know, I like I said, I haven't seen it. So I'm just going purely off of what I got from the trailer and what I know about it. It seems like the story is essentially like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, but set in like a suburban village.
Yeah, you know, and to go along with Ray's point, I mean, I think that's very true. And I think that's why I really liked, part of the reason why I liked it so much is because it was very relaxing to me. Not only that, but there were parts of the movie that nearly broke my heart just because I could relate so much to the movie.
Yeah, I agree with you a lot there as well.
You know, I mean, it's a relaxing movie because it doesn't really stress you out, you know, easy. It's an easy watch. But pairing the things that were happening to him, you know, the first time he sees a girl, a picture of Winona Ryder. I mean, I'm sure a lot of guys had the same reaction when they first saw Winona Ryder.
Young Winona Ryder was solid.
Yeah, so
she's still attractive.
Plus the musical score with Danny Elfman pairing that, you know, it's a heartbreaking score. I think it was just a perfect mixture of being able to relate and then the music just breaking your heart.
I love Danny Elfman's music. He's such a good composer. And I mean, obviously him and Tim Burton have a good relationship because he's done like most of his movies, and he did like the original Spider-Man, the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movie. So he's Danny Elfman. You know, you talk about Hans Zimmer and obviously John Williams and Ennio Morricone, but I feel like not enough people talk about Danny Elfman when they talk about great composers. He's very underrated. And again, I love his music. I think this movie's already really good because it's a great script and good acting and a good concept. But I think without his music, I know you said you had like a connection to the music of this movie, but I think the music in this movie like heightens the experience a lot.
Yeah. And I mean, you're right. Danny Elfman is extremely underrated. I don't know if you guys knew, but he wrote the main theme to The Simpsons. And then you got...
Oh, really?
Yeah, got the original Batman movie. And then, of course, also the theme to the animated series, too, he wrote.
Wow.
You know, Spider-Man. I mean, he's got a lot of iconic scores, like themes, that a lot of people don't think about. So, I mean, yeah, I think he's extremely underrated, too.
Yeah, I think the Spider-Man score, all like for the entire trilogy of Sam Raimi movies, is one of the best or the most memorable film scores ever written, certainly in like the 21st century.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I really appreciated the animated Batman score. I mean, that for me is the quintessential Batman theme. I mean, there's a lot of people who take a shot at it, but it's not quite, you don't become the little kid sitting at the screen eating your breakfast in the morning, ready to see Batman like you do with his theme.
That's true. Yeah, I was never really into like DC comic heroes, but the Batman animated series was so good. I loved that when I was a kid.
Yeah, and that actually really, in my opinion, his version of Batman, going back to Tim Burton, his version of Batman, really, if it wasn't for him sparking things off, you know, making, you know, a lot of people give credit to Spider-Man or to the Dark Knight films, but if it wasn't for Tim Burton breaking out of the ice a little bit there and, you know, taking Batman out of being super silly and being a serious character that people can look to and appreciate and, you know, where kids and adults both can go appreciate a movie and just have a good time, we wouldn't have such great movies like The Dark Knight and the franchise that Marvel's become.
I was actually, I'm have Wikipedia pulled up right now. So Tim Burton's like Batman trilogy was very highly received. And then the last one was Batman and Robin, which, you know, I think we all know how poorly received that one is, the only one that he did not directly have involvement in. So when you talk about, like you said, superhero movies and being influential, I think you do have to give credit to Tim Burton in that case, because like you say, that was a very popular series of movies when it came out.
Did he have something to do with Batman Forever? Because Joel Schumacher directed that one too. He was a producer. Yeah,
I was going to say he was a producer, but he really didn't have much say in that one either, honestly.
Good series though.
Batman. Yeah. And think about it. I mean, you look at Tim Burton and you guys agree he's out there. He's quirky. He's got some really weird movies with some really weird themes. But the only movie really he had done when he was approached for Batman was Pee-wee's Big Adventure. So he wasn't super experienced. And the job he did on Batman was extremely commendable. I mean, considering his later works, he really pulled it off. Both Batman and, I mean, Batman Returns was really good. I liked it personally. Maybe a little quirky at some parts. You know, both of them did have their moments, but I really think that overall, just a fantastic job.
You actually just clued me into a fact that I did not know, that Tim Burton directed Pee-wee's Big Adventure. Did not know that at all.
That was his first movie.
I'm very shocked by that. That movie is very different than what you would normally associate with Tim Burton.
Yeah. I think that's a theme with Tim Burton, though. You know, he. It's not just on screen, but off screen that he's very quirky and he does something that you don't expect. Because like Big Fish, I remember whenever it first came out and I saw it, I saw it a little bit after. But I was like, this is a Tim Burton movie? I mean, it was quirky and weird, but and not to go back to it, but just as a side note, it didn't feel like it was right away. But then whenever you start peeling it apart, I think you could feel his footprint.
Yeah, I agree.
For someone who has such like a distinct style, like you can usually tell when it's a Tim Burton movie. Not always, but most of the time you can. He has a really diverse like filmography. Like he never just directs the same type of movie. And yeah. I think that's really interesting.
And I mean, I think Edward Scissorhands is going to be his most personal project. And he tried to make it before Batman. And I mean, he only made one movie and it was successful. It was good. But it wasn't until he had a smash hit like Batman that the studio trusted him to make his own movie. And so, I mean, you can thank Batman for Edward Scissorhands. And if Batman had flopped, probably wouldn't have ever had it.
You might not be the same person.
I know. I might not be the same person.
Well, and talking about that real quick, there was actually a different actor who might have been Edward Scissorhands. Mm-hmm. And it would have been a very weird, or not weird, but a very different movie is what I mean. Tom Cruise was actually... I'm going to say yes.
Why did I know it was going to be Tom Cruise? I feel like Tom Cruise was like potentially going to star in like every late 80s and early 90s movie.
Yeah, he was a big name.
I can't remember. There was a big series that Tom Cruise was going to play. It might have been The Matrix, maybe.
I think that was Will Smith.
Will Smith. There was a Tom Cruise one that I'm blanking on it right now. It's like a popular series that Tom Cruise was going to.
Wow, I wish I knew.
Luke, do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't, but I mean, I feel like you're not. I feel like you're not making that up. Like I feel like that's probably a thing. I just can't think of the name.
Well, yeah. The reason why Tom Cruise eventually said no was because, spoiler alert, at the very end of the movie, Edward Scissorhands kills the bad guy, the boyfriend. He kills him, and Tom Cruise didn't like that ending, so he asked Tim Burton to change it. And Tim Burton did not budge. So no Tom Cruise, but I think it was all for the better.
I cannot see him as that character. That sounds like it would have been really bad, if I'm being honest.
Well, I don't think it would have been bad. Definitely wouldn't have been as good as if Depp doing it.
Right. I think it would have turned into a comedy. I mean, Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise can't be awkward. Like, I mean, he's a good action movie. You know, and drama, and I don't know if y'all've seen. Now it won't come to me. I was thinking about an Irish movie he did where he was an Irishman, came to America. Luke, it sounds like you know a lot of movies. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I know what you're talking about. I don't know the name, but I know what you're talking about.
I cannot think of it. But anyways, he does drama very well, but I don't think he could pull off that subtle, awkward, innocence. And me and Brayden were talking about this earlier when we were, you know, swapping notes, but I gotta agree with you. I don't think that could be pulled off with Tom Cruise. It would have been a very different movie.
Yeah. I believe you all are talking about a movie called Far and Away. Is that right?
Yes.
Yep, that's the one. Yeah.
Wow, I've never seen that. Yeah, he wasn't the only one considered for the role though. Johnny Depp was kind of like a last resort. The mothers include Robert Downey Jr. Who I think would have been decent.
He would have been better than Cruise.
Yeah.
Yep.
And believe it or not, and he was close to getting the role, somewhat close, Michael Jackson.
Oh, I can see that.
Perfect.
No. Oh, God.
Really does kind of look like Edward Scissorhands in real life.
Yeah.
Did Michael Jackson ever really have any big film roles like that?
No. You never saw The Wiz? The Wiz? No. It's the African American cast version of The Wizard of Oz. It's a musical. It's a movie.
Interesting.
I can tell you right now that he is not a good actor, because, or at least in what I've seen, because if you've seen the Thriller music video, which I feel like everybody has, right?
Yeah. Classic.
At some point. Yeah, it's a great music video. But golly, it's like anytime he doesn't have to say a line, it's the best part. Like every time he tries to say a line, it's just the worst thing ever. I mean, he's obviously, you know, not a professional actor. So, I mean, I can't give him too much crap for it. But, yeah, that would have not worked at all. I think that was probably the worst choice for Edward Scissorhands, I think. So, I'm glad that didn't happen.
So, there's another connection between the Thriller music video and Edward Scissorhands.
Okay. what is it? I'm excited. Now,
Hear me out. It's not super connected, but I'm reaching here. But the narrator for Thriller, Vincent Price, his last film role was Edward Scissorhands. He plays the inventor.
Oh, wow.
And that Vincent Price was like Tim Burton's idol. He loved Vincent Price growing up. And he was able to make, as you mentioned before, Pee-wee, he made some short films. He was able to make like a short film documentary on Vincent Price called Vincent, I think. And but it was always his dream to work with him. And he was able to work with him in Edward Scissorhands. And just in time, because Vincent Price passed away. I don't even know if the movie was released yet. I don't think it was when he passed away. So that is just barely.
That's a neat connection.
You dug deep for that one.
Yeah.
I'm wondering
if Vincent Price suggested Michael Jackson. I don't know. I don't know how that happened.
Honestly, I think you just figured out something that someone who wasn't on the set. How am I trying to word this? I think you just figured out something that no one else who wasn't working on the set could have figured out.
I don't know. I mean, I think Michael Jackson really wanted the role. I'm sure he saw himself in it.
Yeah, could see that.
Maybe it would have turned into a musical, though. I don't know.
That's what I was thinking. I was literally going to say that.
Listen, if Danny Elfman's writing the music, then, I mean, obviously I prefer that wasn't a musical, but I mean, I wouldn't be totally opposed.
Danny Elfman has done a musical before.
Has he really?
He did the score for Chicago, the movie version.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But it's weird because he didn't do the score for Sweeney Todd. So I was wondering why, but yeah.
Speaking of Sweeney Todd, it's another Tim Burton movie that also focuses on a barber. Do Edward Scissorhands and that have any similarities whatsoever?
Well, they both cut hair. And they both star Johnny Depp, and they're both Tim Burton movies. But other than that, I don't see the similarities.
And Johnny Depp is like the most pale person ever in both of those movies.
Yeah.
That is a really, Tyler. Tyler, you both brought it up, but I'm glad you all talked about Sweeney Todd because I was wanting to talk about it for a second. That's probably my second favorite. It's a close second. Edward Scissorhands is probably my favorite, and then I think Sweeney Todd is my second favorite. I'm a big fan, and like Ray was saying, I'm normally with him. I normally don't like musicals, but I think the concept of it was pretty intriguing to me, and I watched it as a kid, and it kind of scarred me for a little bit, but revisiting it now as an adult, I liked it a lot. I love it's one of his only like rated R movies. I don't know if it's his only one. It might be, but I don't know.
No, he did Ed Wood. He did a few others.
Okay. Gotcha. But I like that he was just like Tim Burton was allowed, rated R and was, I mean, that movie is so bloody and I'm kind of a gore hound. I'm really into like slasher movies. And yeah. So I love that he didn't really have a restraint as far as the rating goes. So I liked it. I love Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I'm gonna be honest. It's one of those movies I was not into. I wasn't interested in seeing it, honestly. I mean, I love Tim Burton, I love Johnny Depp, but it's just one of those. Believe it or not, I just didn't. Well, I don't think I ever saw the whole movie. I don't think I even saw it.
I think my my heart just shattered into many pieces.
Yeah, it's just not my. I don't know what to say. It's just not my thing, I guess. There's certain musicals I do love. But I just it never caught my attention, I guess.
Yeah, my girlfriend loves musicals and she hates Sweeney Todd.
Really?
She's not a fan at all. Can't remember what her reasoning was for it. I just know she doesn't like it.
I mean, their own. But I know what Brayden's favorite musical is.
What's that?
High School Musical.
No, it's not.
Same.
My goodness. Speaking of being stuck in a room watching movies with your sister, jeez. Anyways, terrible times.
Have you guys seen Hamilton?
I haven't. No, it doesn't capture my attention. I'm really? Very picky with musicals.
Really?
Yeah, I'm very picky with musicals.
Oh, it's really good. Like I said, my girlfriend loves musicals, and before we were dating, I was totally on your guys' side in that I hate musicals. Mm-hmm. She has shown me some good ones. And Hamilton is definitely my favorite of the ones I have seen.
I'm curious what the other good ones are.
Les Mis. That's a really good one.
As someone, you said you don't like musicals, but you like Les Mis. I feel like that's crazy. That's crazy to me. I mean, that's cool. I don't like Les Mis, but I mean, that's cool that you do.
Yeah. I just like the whole story and the production of Les Mis.
Gotcha. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because Les Mis is based on like a classic novel.
Right. Oh, okay. You know, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. It's very. It was originally a novel, then it was adapted into the stage production, and then finally the movie. And then they, I think in France, they just did like a mini series of it where they like translated it into modern day, but with like police violence as opposed to like a Revolutionary War type thing.
Okay.
A Greatest Showman was really good.
Gosh.
Yeah, see, none of these movies, and I like some musicals. None of those are I got into. I'm sorry.
I will say, Tyler, I do hate musicals, but The Greatest Showman did catch my eye, even though I didn't watch it.
Yeah,
I hate it.
And I think the last one that I want to talk about that was like really, really good. I don't get emotional at movies very easily, but Rent. You all heard of Rent?
Yeah, another one. I'm not. Not my thing.
Lie to you. Rent made me cry. Honestly,
really?
Yeah. It was one of those things where, like, I did not realize that I had grown attached to one of the characters, and then they died, and I was like, "Oh, I guess I had." like,
yeah, that always gets you.
It does. Like, it was one of those scenes that was like so well done that even if you didn't like the character, it would have put you in like an emotional state.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. That's probably in like my top 15 of all time, actually. Rent. Wow. Yeah. Love that movie.
Well, have y'all seen, and this doesn't make me sound old, though I'm not that old. And I mean the OG when I speak here, because I, you know, this comes from really my mom, her influence. The Sound of Music is actually a musical that I could really appreciate. As corny and nerdy as it sounds, that's actually just because of both world wars really interest me. And so the backstory behind what happens in that movie interests me. And yeah, I think it's very well done.
I think I need to go rewatch Sound of Music now as an adult. Because I remember watching it when I was in elementary school and hating it, like absolutely hating it. But I feel like that's also one of those movies that like you will have a completely different perspective on as an adult compared to when you're a kid.
Yeah, I feel the same way because, I mean, I'm not even kidding, guys. Every music class that I ever had in elementary school, middle school, high school, and even my online music class that I had in college, no joke, if something wasn't like going on, like if there wasn't a lot of work to do, we would have to watch that movie. They forced us to watch that movie. And I think Tyler's right. I think that I appreciate it as a movie, hated it in school, because I was forced to watch it for the third time or fourth time, actually. But I think rewatching it again as an adult would probably change my opinion.
There's actually one last one that just popped into my head. And we're talking about classic movies. Have you guys seen Singing in the Rain?
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but I want to.
I don't remember what that one's about.
It's about singing in the rain.
It's
ding, ding, you win.
Yeah, it's about like a bunch of silent movie stars trying to make the transition to sound movies. Kind of doubles as like musical and comedy at the same time.
I think I've actually watched this in school once.
Yeah. I've only seen bits and pieces because I am looking it up right now, and I have only seen bits and pieces.
It's considered a classic along with Sound of Music. Two movies I can appreciate. They're not my favorites. And you guys keep bringing up musicals and I thought I was kind of a musical guy, but you guys are bringing up musicals that are just...
What musicals are you into? I'm curious. Because so, like, those are...
Maybe these are off the wall or kind of all over the place here. But I'll just list just a couple. First of all, and this is really because I fell in love in high school. I was in theater and freshman year, our school did this production. But Little Shop of Horrors, I love that movie. Okay. And I love the music in that movie. And then a movie that's actually my top five all time is La La Land.
That has been on my list for years to watch. Never. I still have not gotten around to it yet.
It is a masterclass when it comes to lighting and directing and choreography and cinematography. I mean, I don't know what to say. It's one of those movies that tugs on your heartstrings, kind of like Edward Scissorhands.
Deserving of all the nominations?
Well, you know, I love the Oscars, but a lot of it can be like, it's like, even if it's a bad movie, like if it's a bad movie, you're not going to get nominated even if you deserve it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's like one of those movies that it was so good that it even got nominations it didn't necessarily deserve. Mm-hmm. Like costume design. The costumes are great, but, you know, it's not like a period piece or anything like that. So
I will say that I always check in to see like the Oscar nominations when they come out, and I'll like the next morning after the ceremony, because I'm not staying up to watch all of that. So I, like in the morning, I'll look up the winners and be like, oh, that's neat. But honestly, the Oscars usually disappoint me. Like there's people who I feel like, people and movies and directors and stuff, that I feel like just get no love from the Academy. It's almost like a club. You know what I mean? If you get nominated once, you're most likely to get nominated again. And a lot
unless
of movies,
you're Leo DiCaprio.
Yeah. True. Which is absolute trap. Well, he's been nominated a lot, but will he win again? He should have won literally every time he's been nominated. Sorry. No.
Leo. Once Upon a Time in Hollywood too.
I'm a big Leo fan. He's my favorite actor.
Well, but, you know what? He should have won in was his first nomination. And What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
He's so good in that movie.
And he's only 17 years old, and he plays a like a 12-year-old with, you know, mental disabilities. And wow, like that's one of the best performances I've ever seen.
It's unreal. Like, I mean, it still kind of looks like him in the face, but other than that, like I would just, if I didn't know who Leonardo DiCaprio was, I would probably just assume that that was someone with disabilities.
That was a great year, though, in supporting actor. I just watched, because the winner, I don't know, I want to hear what you guys think if he should have beat him. The winner who beat him was Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive. I don't know if you guys have seen The Fugitive.
I haven't. I'm a big Harrison Ford guy, so I probably should watch The Fugitive.
Oh, that's one of his best. I don't know why you haven't.
I know. I don't either. I don't either.
That's a good one.
That's a tough one, honestly, because I am definitely more driven towards the action pack stuff. And actually in that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, I saw it after my folks had seen it for the first time. So I saw it with them for the second time, and I actually made my mom cry. She cried the first time she saw it, but then she cried the second time because of me. Because like I felt so bad, for them with, you know, this family. I got upset. I was like really upset because people were like, whenever they were bullying the mother and taking pictures and stuff, which, you know, I saw right away as a little kid, like, this is bullying. This is terrible. I was like, man, I'd go punch one of them in the face. And that made my mom cry.
Wow.
And yeah, I mean, I think that was an excellent movie, but that's a tough one.
But, and it's funny, it's funny in the ironic sense, not actually funny, but
it's hilarious.
this next part might sound bad if I say it's funny, but the actress who plays the mom in that movie had like no prior professional acting experience, and she was really good in her first role. So I always love that when like an actor or an actress, you know, hasn't had any, like in their debut role, they get all kinds of awards and acclaim and stuff. I just always find that neat when that happens.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with you.
To tie everything back around, does anyone have any last comments on Edward Scissorhands or just Tim Burton movies in general?
If you haven't seen it, give it a shot. Hopefully you understand at least what I mean, even if you don't agree with me. That and I'll kind of tie it all together from the moment he sees the picture of her to the moment he realizes that he can't have her at the end. Sorry, Ray.
Yeah, Ray, I mean this movie's been spoiled for you.
But she realizes, she tells him she loves him, but at the end of the day he realizes he can't be with her. I mean, I don't know, if that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will.
Should have just went for the lady that liked him.
The creepy
you
lady.
Take what you can get.
That seems you just have to settle.
I really like the supporting cast in this movie too, because we've talked about Winona Ryder and Johnny Depp and Vincent Price, who you mentioned, but so many other actors are in it that are really good. Like I like seeing Anthony Michael Hall in it. He plays the boyfriend who's just like, you know, eventually becomes like a psychotic, like madman. Like he's just the worst. He's like the most unlikable character possible, and he plays the part really well. And it's funny because like literally he was known, obviously you guys know this, I'm sure, but in the 80s, he was known for being in like all kinds of John Hughes movies as like a nerdy kid, like in, I mean, in all kinds of movies, like Weird Science and 16 Candles and all kinds of stuff, and The Breakfast Club. But it's really cool seeing an actor who's a lot of times typecast play a totally different role and do really well. I like seeing that a lot.
I heard the people that watched the movie were shocked that it was him too, because he I think he had just recently hit like some kind of growth spurt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you compare it to just a couple of years before, and he was still that kind of scrawny, nerdy kid. And all of a sudden, it's like I heard a lot of people just didn't recognize him right away.
Reminds me of my entrance into high school. Hit my growth spurt. Hit puberty. My voice got deep and everyone was like, Logan?
My voice got deep around 12 years old. And I remember being on Xbox Live and I was playing with this random guy who I didn't know. And he told me it came out that I was 12, and he was like, dude, I thought you were like a 45-year-old man. I was like, no, nope, I'm 12.
I was going to go get a beer with you.
Yeah. So, I mean, do you not meet the most interesting people on Xbox or PlayStation?
You do. Online? You do. Yeah.
Like, I met a friend 3 years ago playing Call of Duty Advanced Warfare. And I literally still talk to him to this day. Wow. Like, I've never even met him in person.
I heard if you do meet them, they tend to murder you sometimes. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, what if
me and Brayden met?
Yeah, that's true. Me and Logan, we met kind of, well, through mutual friends, but also kind of through PlayStation.
Yeah. We played Battlefront 1 together on PS4.
Classic. Such a good game.
10 out of 10. I actually like Battlefront 2 more, I think. But those are really good.
You guys play the mode Heroes versus Villains?
Yeah.
It was one of my favorite modes on the game.
Uh-huh.
I wish private matches were around in Battlefront 2. Because we had a big friend group where we would have four people on one side and four people on the other. And we were just fighting each other. And it was brilliant. Just the screams and yelling over comms. It was hilarious.
It sounds, I imagine it would be competitive being at all of them being your friends, because I know when I'm playing with my friends, I'm always trying to be better.
Oh yeah. We were at each other's throats. In fact, Brayden's little brother, like his youngest brother, and I won't mention any names, but his youngest brother would play Darth Vader and would talk so much smack. And Brayden, how young is he now?
He's 15 now, but he must have been like 12 at the time or something.
Dude, really young. The thing is, he was good too, and he would talk so much smack. I was like, dude, don't make me. I know where you live, kid. I will come and beat your butt.
I say that to everyone. I know where you live.
Everybody's a big guy over the mic.
I feel like online gaming has ruined some people's careers, because they'll go back and see, wow, this person called someone playing Call of Duty with him the N-word 14 times.
That had counting? Destroyed some, I don't know who has to count that.
You're right. I mean, yeah, I mean, that's how the world works nowadays.
Yeah.
I will say that Call of Duty lobbies are some of the most toxic places I've ever been.
Yeah, that's why I just stick to playing with my friends. Yep. And I've gotten to the point where I just shut off messages from people that are not my friends.
Yeah. That way your friends can be the only ones that abuse you.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's more enjoyable. Yeah.
It's allowed in that sense.
It is. Yeah.
Just banter.
But moving on, guys, I don't know if you've listened to one of our episodes all the way through, but we end our show with a story time segment. Since you two are the guests, you can have first pick. Do either of you have a great story that you were just dying to share?
Ooh, I should have saved it for the Edward Scissorhands story.
You should have.
Oh, man. Right. Go ahead, Logan. I'll let you do it.
While they decide, we are going to take a quick sponsor break. And we will come back with a story.
So this is a story that I have used on all of my essays all the way through college. Okay. Now, there are times where I change some things and I exaggerate a little bit to make it more entertaining. But this is kind of what happened, because as a little kid, this is the most adrenaline that I ever had. Okay. So I'm living in Minnesota. I'm 10 years old, right? And I go to the state fair, Minnesota State Fair. By, I don't know if it still is, but at that time it was technically considered the number two biggest state fair in the country. I don't know if that means anything, but that just means that it's a pretty big deal for the state of Minnesota, and a lot of people go, and there's a lot of food. Okay. So what happens is, it's nearing the end of the day at the fair, and I'm with me, my friend Nico that I told you guys about earlier, and his sister Tiffany. Okay. And she's like a couple years older than us. Now we're basically winding down, kind of ready to go home, but there's a playground. Okay. There's a playground there for kids to play on. And it's one of those with like wood chips, you know, under. They got a bunch of wood chips.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But on the other side of the fence, they had like a little, you know, built-in fence. There was a bunch of other playgrounds, and there was a guy sitting at the table. So basically what he was doing, he was like a salesman. He was trying to sell the playgrounds, right? I forget what, I think it was like Rainbow, you know, typical playground company. There were so many kids on the playground. We played on it for like a couple of minutes. And then we were like, you know, I want to play on the other ones. The other ones look more fun, right? But we're kids. We don't know the point of them being on the other side of the fence. We just know we want to go over it. Okay. So we walk up to the guy and we're like, can we play on the playground? He's like, no, you can play on that one. These are for sale. We're trying to sell these. He doesn't say it exactly like that, but you know, the best you could to explain to kids. Anyways, I didn't get that. Okay. It didn't make sense to me. He was being dumb. I thought he was being a bad guy. Right. So we didn't like what he said. So we were like, all right, let's hatch a plan. Why don't we get him, make him let us in. Right. So we gather a bunch of wood chips. Oh, we gather a bunch of wood chips.
Oh my.
Kind of in our shirts. We go to the top of the playground and we just start chucking them at them.
Oh.
I mean, we're chucking wood chips at him and he's getting mad, right? He's like, you guys need to stop that, right? And so, you know, we were like, okay. And we stopped for a little bit and then we waited a couple minutes. Do it again. We started chucking them at him again, right? One wood chip got him square in the eye. Square in the eye. And I don't remember who threw it, but he got him right in the eye, and that just set him off. And he's like, that's it. He's like, where are your parents? And I was like, oh, no. My parents were like not there. They were watching us from a distance. So, and they were talking, so they had no idea what was going on. And so we basically walk over to our parents, and this guy gets on his walkie-talkie. Okay. He gets on his walkie-talkie and he's talking into it. And we're like, oh man. So we go to our parents and we're like, we're tired. We want to go home. Right. So they get up and they start walking. We start leaving. Like, it's like, they're like, okay. It's like, they were just waiting for us to go. So as we're walking out, we see two security guards, I guess. I don't know if they were cops or what, but they were walking toward, like, from a distance, they were walking. And so basically we hauled it out of there and our parents had no idea what was going on, but we got out of there as quick as possible. We thought we were going to get, I don't know what was going to happen. I guess as a kid, you think you're going to get arrested.
Yeah.
But that's my wood chip story. That's my, that's, I wasn't funny. Satisfied with the playground.
That's
story.
A good one. Yeah.
You know, I would never advocate for hurting a child, but there are some times where, like, I have to admire some adult's resilience in not just smacking a kid.
Oh, Tyler, I think I've lost. I used to like kids, but then I started working at the movie theater and then I started hating kids.
Hating kids? Yeah.
The movie theater kids, the parents will literally just send their kids to the stand. They'll just send them with money and they'll just stand there like.
Yeah. And the kid has no idea what they're doing because they've never done that before.
The worst thing ever is when the parent, like, it's normally a dad, you know, they walk up with the kid and they'd be like, go ahead, buddy, tell them what you want.
That's the worst.
And the kid either like says something super vague, like candy, or they'll be like,
I want a hot dog.
I don't
have hot dogs.
They'll be like, popcorn. The funniest is they'll be like, popcorn. And the parents will go, popcorn? Well, I say they have that, and they wink at the person working. You know, they did that. That happened to me one time. And I was like, yes, ma'am, we do have. We happen to have popcorn. That's like our main thing that we have.
I don't know if you ever noticed, Luke, but I was never nice to the kids.
No, I noticed. Yeah,
I want a 10-piece.
Every time I walk away, I would start saying some unpleasant things.
Oh yeah, no. Listen, those nights when it was me and you working on the weekdays. Yeah, that was one of the highlights of my night.
Hated it, man.
They would always make walk up and you just start being like, oh, and start cussing afterwards.
you know, and some kids deserve spankings. I get that. But you know what? And I think back to stories like this, and I remember what I was thinking as a kid, and I was totally wrong, but I also get it. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes you try to think like a kid, and sometimes that helps. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think we're going to wrap the episode down now. Guys, thank you for being on. We hope you've enjoyed your time with us.
Yeah, thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we enjoyed it.
Yeah, this was fun. This was cool. I mean, a big group having a lot to say about movies.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. If you guys enjoyed this episode, you can follow us on social media at CineBrosP on Twitter, CineBros Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're on Reddit, we have our own subreddit at r/CineBrosPodcast. Guys, where can they find you?
Everywhere. No, we also have Instagram, Absolutely Gobsmacked Podcast, Facebook, Absolutely Gobsmacked, anywhere else, Spotify, YouTube, iTunes, or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Twitter at Absolutely Gobs One. You know, wherever you guys look, you should be able to find us. Yeah. And we have our own website, absolutelygobsmackedpodcast.com.
And like I said, I do recommend their show. They do some pretty cool content. Anyone have anything else to say before we go?
Yes, real quick. Also, if you enjoy the Cinebros podcast and other content like it, then you'll probably love my series on the Cinebros YouTube channel, exclusive to the Cinebros YouTube channel, called 5-Minute Movie Reviews, where I review movies in 5 minutes or less, or in the case of our past two videos, 6 minutes or longer. So it might be time for a name change. I don't know. Okay. But in all seriousness, my Reservoir Dogs recently hit 300 viewers. That is amazing. Thank you all so much for that. And if you want to follow me on social media, I am on Instagram, only Instagram at the moment, but I'll expand soon, at 5-Minute Movie Reviews. And it's just that with an underscore in between each word. So yeah, check that out as well.
Oh, and one more thing. I love you all.
We love you too, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
No, I meant the listeners. But okay.
Oh, okay.
Man, that hurts
a little.
That's why I didn't say it back. I knew he was talking to the listeners. Wow.